Cooper House, but we are joyful that this project is going forward, and I'm sure it will be a great benefit to the city of Santa Cruz. So thank you, Jay, and thank you everybody who's worked on this. And Seal, I know you've done a lot of the work on it, so please come forward. And I'd just like to mention other council members here, Scott Kennedy and Cynthia Matthews, because I know they were on the council when a lot of the work was done for the reconstruction of downtown. Thanks.
So she mourns the loss of Cooper House, but she celebrates the developers.
I have to speak because I've always been the optimist on this project.
Well, rather than lose our lunch here as we're approaching noon, listening to all these high-priced city staffers, developers, and politicians laud what's going on downtown, how about a couple of public announcements and then an interview with Catnip Kate Wells, who's actually standing by at home waiting for a phone call from us to give us an update on how things are. Kate is one of the few attorneys who actually takes cases involving poor people. In terms of occasionally pro bono, frequently offers help outside of court. She's a wonderful woman. She's vastly overtaxed. But she's got some interesting things to say. So let's get her on the line here and see what she has to tell us. You're listening, of course, to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And we have a call in line at 427-3772 as soon as this call is over.
Kate Wells.
Yeah.
So, Kate, we have you live on the air here. And I know you have been handling a number of cases. You told us that there's not any earth-shaking developments, but I thought you might give us kind of some status reports as to what's cooking.
Okay, well, things are, I guess, heating up a little bit more again at Rancho Del Mar.
Rancho Del Mar, of course, is the shopping center out in Aptos where Jerry Henry, the street counselor, has been given the heave-ho by the coffee roasting company and a couple of other places, and they've colluded with the local sheriff's substation there to actually harass him, even as he stays on public property open to the public out there.
Yeah, and basically it's because of his position of counseling the kids and giving them a sense of what their legal rights are so that they aren't immediately cowed by certain deputy sheriffs who would like them to be.
I understand that he's been successful along with that work of Richard Quigley and others. I might even pat myself and Free Radio Santa Cruz on the back for publicizing this and your work, of course, and that Sergeant Deverell has been transferred from his work at harassing people at the substation off to a desk job somewhere?
Yeah, he's working out of the DA's office at this point. He's been effectively silenced as a negative force, at least out on the street.
Mm-hmm. And the people who've taken his place are less onerous?
Pardon?
The people who've taken his place are nicer?
Generally think that Hemingway, who's the current sheriff assigned there, is a decent guy. But then there's still shop owner harassment going on. I was down there myself the day before yesterday, and I had been told that, in fact, they were refusing to sell Cheez-Its in the liquor store. If they were intended to be for either Richard Quigley or Jerry Henry. So I did my foray into the liquor store there and asked for Cheez-Its when I didn't find them on the shelf, and he said, we don't have any.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So they had removed them from the shelf.
Did you try an advance order?
Pardon?
Did you put in an advance order?
Yeah, right. He says, well, yeah, you could try some other time. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. So the other thing that's happened in the last week or two is that Jerry Henry, who was in shopping in Gottschalk's with a friend, he and his friend were both asked to leave the store.
Uh-huh. For what reason?
Pardon?
For what reason?
No, when they asked for what reason, they said, we don't have to give you one.
Uh-huh. Oh, really? And what's your legal opinion on that, Kate?
My legal opinion is that they're well aware of the fact that Jerry is a disabled person, and therefore they have broken the law according to the ADA, at least. Not to mention the fact that unless they have some cause, they can't excuse him anyway. So Jerry and I are going to go shopping next week.
Ooh. Is this going to be open to the public? Can we also all go shopping with you?
Well, of course, yeah, absolutely.
How can people, do you have a time and a
plan? I haven't worked it out yet. We just want to make sure that the manager is there. She was gone all this week. We were going to do it this week, but...
Well, if you want to go shopping with Kate and Jerry and observe, I might call this shopping for justice.
Yes.
Give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave me your name and phone number, and I'll try and hook you up with Kate and Jerry, and you can come along.
Yeah.
Maybe observe the proceedings.
Yeah, well, I think it'll be kind of interesting to ask them to ask me to leave. The other kind of interesting note about all of this is that Jerry Henry and his family have spent literally probably tens of thousands of dollars at Gottschalk's. Jerry's mother was buried in a dress from Gottschalk's. A grandmother was buried in a dress from Gottschalk's. You know, it's pretty interesting that they're asking Jerry to leave.
Maybe you can kind of review for us, is there more on that case, or is that pretty much...
No, that's pretty much all. We're still going to contemplate filing the Title 42 action.
And that's a civil rights, a general violation of civil rights action,
right,
in federal court?
Right.
Wasn't Jerry also told that he faced interfering with business charges for being outside the store? Apparently his mere presence outside the store was considered interfering with business inside.
He had five counts of interfering with a business.
Uh-huh.
Criminal counts.
What happened to those?
They all went away.
They did, huh?
The people dismissed them. The day of trial was to begin after we had subpoenaed 54 witnesses.
I see. Well, that was prudent of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What about this concern, I guess, that they had roped off a large area that people used to sit down on, and I guess you claimed that this was an intentional... What was your allegation, that they were trying to deny public space to people?
Well, it's the only space left to sit. They've removed all other places to sit. Coffee Roasting Company, all of them have removed any outdoor seating, so this is the last place there is to sit outside. And so our allegation is that they put up this unsightly yellow tape and orange cones for the specific purpose of keeping Jerry Henry and Jerry Henry's kids out of the area, because they had to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Jerry, I think, took a chair down.
Oh, boy.
And sat on his own.
Well, what they need is a set of downtown ordinances and Aptos like our own enlightened Santa Cruz to stop these hippie types.
You need to hear the end of that story. We actually brought an injunction against the shopping center, and the day that the hearing was to be had on the injunction, they took it down.
Right, I heard about that.
They claimed that it was these planters that they were taking care of, that they had planted new plants, etc. And of course, it was the most pitiful looking landscaping job I've ever seen. And since, I have one more thing to talk about. Since then, the Jerry's kids have, a lot of whom have extensive rock collections, because Jerry's has an extensive collection of jade, and have landscaped the area in front of the liquor store there, including using their decorative rocks and planting succulents, and I mean, it is looking really good now.
And this is with the permission of the owner, sir?
No one said a word, but the person in charge of the landscaping has come and thanked them profusely.
Well, you know, I think that they should use the planter approach they used in downtown Santa Cruz, which is to rip out all the beautiful waist-high red brick planters that line the mall.
Just in case somebody might sit on them.
In case, you know, certain undesirable types might come along and sit on them. and put in these 3-inch high planters that it's illegal to sit on, or even to put your foot on, which, for example, Sean Alini is charged with violating the Feed the People guide.
It's so ironic. You know, these people are cutting off their noses to spite their faces, and they don't seem to understand that it's hurting their business, and they turn around and blame the homeless for their it's just an insane logic that no logic.
Now, there's been a lot of controversy, Kate, around the beach boardwalk and the plan to bulldoze the beach flats. Already, millions of dollars in property has been transferred over to Charlie Canfield. That was last Tuesday when the tidelands were simply dumped into Charlie's ample lap. And in exchange for, I guess, 1 or 2 acres of that property, when the city owned all of it, and it was somehow persuaded by its city attorney and the state lands attorney to give it away. But there were some numerous speakers who talked, one of whom talked about assaults by Seaside Company security people, or goon squads as they call them, Canfield's cops, on individuals like, Shaz, we call the Widget Man, who's been co-host on my show.
Mr. Fidget,
yeah. And also, I guess there's a fellow who was a medical marijuana user who had his door broken in.
David Harding.
Are you acquainted with those cases?
Yeah, those two, as well as a couple more.
Tell me a little bit about those two, if you can.
Well, David was literally dragged out of his apartment on 2nd Street there, literally dragged out of his apartment by the goon squad, who beat his door down and in the process of grabbing him from his apartment injured his legally blind person that he caretakes. Handcuffed him all the way across the parking lot to the Seaside security holding cell, and held him until Santa Cruz PD got there, and they brought the supposed victim to look at David to see if this was the person, and they said, no, this doesn't have anything to do with him. They let him go. He subsequently brought a lawsuit, and I guess won a moderate amount of money for his injuries.
Did he get an apology from Charlie Canfield?
No idea.
That's certainly not a public apology.
Shaz, on the other hand, was at the boardwalk, actually out on the sidewalk in front of the arcade area.
On public property, you might hear.
Public property, yeah, we found out later. And he had a question about their bicycle policy. There's a sign next to the bike racks that said that if they ask you to leave the property, they can hold your bike for so many days, like, you know, 30 days or something. So there were several security guards. They were actually frisking some customer. And two or three guards were just kind of standing around observing. And so he walked up to one of them and said, could he ask him a question? And he asked him about the bike policy. And the cop was in the process of explaining it when another one of the goons came over and said, you got a problem with this policy? Mm-hmm. And Chad said, no. And he said, well, if you got a problem with it, you can leave.
All right.
Well, okay, I'm willing to leave, but I got to get my bike. And he said, no, get yourself across the railroad tracks there. You're out of here. And he said, look, you stupid. I don't know what he said. Yeah. Something derogatory, but at any rate, I'm going to get my bike and I'm going to leave. And at that point, they grabbed him, jumped on him, and threw him to the ground.
These were Canfield's private cops, right?
Yes, who packed 9mm, by the way, 9mm.
Really?
Yeah, and handcuffed him and dragged him off the security office.
Tearing his pants in the process.
Dragging him.
And as a consequence of this, I think he suffered a number of injuries.
Shoulder injuries that made it impossible for him to do his work, which has put him in a real financial bind at this point. Third case hasn't been filed yet, and I'd rather withhold comment until I file it.
We're not talking about Wanda's case, are we? We actually have talked about it on free radio, and I don't expect you to comment on it, but it was a case of a woman who said she was forced off the boardwalk, separated from her child because a guard, one of the goons there, or maybe it wasn't the cops, but it was a security guard, who didn't like her attacking the Ku Klux Klan. This is a story that even I found hard to swallow, but it seemed to be confirmed by her companion who was with her, and so I'm curious to see what's going to happen when this goes to court. Is there a court date set for this, or?
No, the case hasn't been filed yet.
I see.
Yeah.
Then I guess I have a question for you. You've also been attorney for Frank Pusilek, who was one of the few friends of the homeless in the Citizens Committee for the Homeless a couple years ago when he tried to set up a safe haven campground for homeless people. Kennedy did his usual all help out, and then ran the other direction when the heat came down or when the spotlight came on him. And Pusilek underwent a lot of abuse in the media and from CCH, and a lot of inappropriate behavior from that group supposedly concerned with the homeless that essentially blamed their problems on him and kind of left him out to dry, essentially ruining his reputation in Santa Cruz. And he recently, I guess, got a settlement with some of the people, at least the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, but not yet the city manager of the city, right?
Frank has settled in their confidential settlement terms with CCH and the individual defendants, but the case goes on against the city. And we're claiming that that it was their, that the manager, city manager, Dick Wilson, without investigating the truth of these false charges against Pusilek, walked into a CCH meeting and demanded that Frank be fired, or he would withdraw. They would withdraw all city support for the housing project. So, so that case continues on.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've also been renowned in the city for your support of medical marijuana. You were attorney for the cannabis club before it closed this spring, and I guess you're associated at least in sympathy with WAM, Women and Men for Medical Marijuana. And I know you've been really concerned about what's happening with Peter Baez, Joan Baez's brother, and the head.
Right now, I'm more concerned with what's happening with McWilliams, who's going on trial in San Diego.
Tell me about that.
Well, he's asked for as much support as possible. I think his.
Who is he, and what is he? And what is he in?
Oh, Steve McWilliams ran the cannabis club in San Diego. He was here in Santa Cruz for quite some time. Then went down to San Diego to open the doors in San Diego, and ran quite successfully for a period of time, and then was busted, and is. Facing felony cultivation charges, and his trial, I believe, is due to set to go next week, and he's asking for as many supporters as possible who can make it to San Diego to come and give him support at the trial.
Is it begin on Monday, or does it begin on Monday?
I'm not sure if it's Monday. Probably Tuesday. I think Monday's actually a court holiday.
Right, that's Indian Genocide Day, I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's interesting. I know that there's been a lot of protests in San Diego for homeless rights.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can persuade some homeless folks to join the courtroom and see that justice is done or undone as it happens. What about Santa Cruz? What's happening here? Are we
Santa Cruz? We're still stuck on finding a place. No landlord is willing, and understandably willing, to risk losing their property knowingly rent a medical marijuana facility.
Well, perhaps your new house, Kate, would be the appropriate
right.
place for this.
I have total sympathy with these people. I you know, as a landlord, I wouldn't rent to anybody unless I planned on losing the property anyway, because the feds are actively going after all of the clubs.
You heard about the controversy around needle exchange literature and Sergeant McMahon censoring needle exchange literature that said, I don't know, fuck safe, shoot clean or something.
Yeah.
Any updates on that or any reaction?
No, my plate's already full without that issue. I gotta draw the line somewhere, and that's, I mean, I'm full support of it.
I'm not trying to hire you as attorney or to get you to sign
on. No, I know, but I really haven't. I don't know enough about what's going on to comment.
Okay. Anything else you want to comment on before we allow you to go back to your...
Yeah, actually, there is one thing that I want to talk about, and it's a Ninth Circuit case that I've just come across that the ruling in the case, and this came up in the context of one of my cases against the county. The ruling in this Ninth Circuit case is that a cop has the right to get up on the stand and intentionally and maliciously lie, and is absolutely and utterly immune from civil damages.
Wow, what's the name of this case?
I'm watching the game while I'm talking to you. I will get that that citation and give it to you so that you can put it on the air. It's a startling case. The actual logic, if you could call it that, of the case is a complete oxymoron. They actually state in the case that in order to get at the truth, we have to enable them to lie.
Well, one has to use a somewhat circuitous path to truth sometimes, you know.
Yeah, they really have to stretch a long ways to get to the decision in this case, and it's really frightening, and I think, people should know about this. I mean, we're trying to get as much publicity for this as possible. I think that most people would look at that case, would look at what I'm saying here and say, oh, she's wrong, you know, she hasn't read the case right. Well, believe me, I'm not wrong, and I haven't read the case wrong. That is the absolute truth.
Well, we're going to be getting from you a detailed analysis in our next Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Okay.
Thank you, Attorney Kate Wells.
Bye.
Well, that was Wells, and I'm Norris. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, your free radio station. And if you want a little free radio time, now's the time to pick up the ding-ding and call 427-3772, 427-3772, and you will go on the air with the community and with me. So here's your chance. Give it a try.
Tape from California. Let's take it away. Yeah.
That was Phil Oakes, taped from California, from the album of the same name. Well, for all you people who have been waiting, particularly you street vendors, we have the new Street Spirit has finally come in. That's the homeless newspaper published in San Francisco that covers the entire state, actually goes farther than that. The headline for this month's October issue, Activists Overcome Banishment Decree in Isla Vista. I'm going to give you a teaser on that in case you want to go buy it from your local homeless vendor for a buck. Editor's note, homeless people won a small but significant moral victory in mid-September in Isla Vista, an area of Santa Barbara. The Isla Vista Parks Department attempted to impose a harsh 3 infractions and you're out ban on street people in public parks. The proposed banishment, which could have set a dangerous precedent for other California cities, was defeated by public opposition and a large turnout of homeless people who denounced the inhumanity of the ban at a Parks Board meeting. Although the Parks Board backed off from this repressive policy, it recommended that the district attorney ban persons for committing offenses to public safety. This would not, however, banish people for such infractions as lodging or sleeping in parks. Peter Marin, a Santa Barbara writer and activist on homeless issues for many years, accompanied the homeless delegation to the Parks Board meeting to protest the banishment and offered this appeal to the citizens of Santa Barbara. I'm going to read a little bit of it. But if you want to hear the whole thing, you've got to buy your local, recent, and no doubt soon to be found right in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, Street Spirit. Last week, spread across the pages of the Santa Barbara News Press and then gleefully welcomed in an editorial, was the news that the Parks and Recreation Department in Isla Vista had devised a new and draconian scheme, horrific in scope, odious in intent, for dealing with homeless behavior and for banishing the homeless in certain circumstances for life from public parks, one of the few places the homeless are comfortable. The proposed policy was described in the News Press editorial as both sensible and necessary, a reasonable response to unreasonable behavior. But is this the case? A close look at the regulations reveals them to be excessive and cruel, and to take our civic war against the homeless to a level of unfairness that has not existed before. The proposed new policy is reportedly based on California's three-strike law and also on a law devised in Oxnard to deal with the behavior of a violent surfer who repeatedly bullied and terrorized others on the beach. Citations and arrests did nothing to curb the surfer's behavior, so authorities hit upon the stratagem of drafting a law that would punish repeated violations with banishment from the beach. Violation of the ban would result in a lengthy jail term, one that would exceed in length the penalty for any particular act that had led to the ban in the first place. I may interrupt this article by noting that this is the kind of approach that they do to you here in Santa Cruz when you take probation as an alternative to jail or community service. Actually, usually it's the alternative to jail. And there are banishment orders, of course, going on in Santa Cruz as well, such as the one imposed on Crossroads Chris Brosda, a homeless man and sometime homeless writer who I ran into the other day at the beach boardwalk. He was checking out our protest down there. We had a protest at noon at the beach boardwalk, and I'll give you an update on that shortly. But banishment is not simply the province of Santa Barbara. It's becoming one of these fashionable policies like laws against sitting down, laws against sleeping, laws about hanging out. For the purpose of selling drugs, that one was floated for a while in Berkeley, Proposition N, it was called. It sunsetted mercifully. Curfew laws, all these anti-homeless laws, which we want to see people like that great homeless advocate Linda Steinau and Karen Gillette, her partner-in-arms, come out against. And it seems to me pretty simple. If you're getting paid to help the homeless, then help the homeless. Thank you very much. Anyway, this is an article by Peter Marin in the Street Spirit. I've been reading to you about Isla Vista, a university community just north of Santa Barbara, and the successful efforts by he and homeless people to turn back a banishment regulation in the parks of Isla Vista. You can read and hear more about this by picking up a Dollar Street Spirit from downtown. Again, you can usually find the folks in front of the Cinema 9, in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz, and thereabouts. Assuming, of course, the bookshop Santa Cruz isn't going after street musicians, as we had heard a rumor they were doing. Apparently, one of the people at the flower stand didn't like the music being played by several musicians, and so activated the Coonerty Cafe Law, which some of you who follow my show know about. That's part of the 1994 downtown ordinances passed under pressure from Neil Coonerty and his downtown association, which makes it illegal, for instance, for any musician to play in front of a sidewalk cafe. Now, of course, you often see people playing in front of sidewalk cafes in Santa Cruz, and that's because the people aren't calling the police on these musicians. I guess it's a way of so-called quality control. Unfortunately, it's also a means of content control, and it's also illegal, for instance, to put a table with a voter registration, signatures for petitions, flyers to hand out in front of the sidewalk cafes, all of which came from, essentially, Neil Coonerty's objection to people like myself and Jacklight John Hamilton, activists concerned with ending the sleeping ban, on the table we had there in 93 and 94, signing people up and urging people to talk to Neil Coonerty, who was in 93 the mayor of Santa Cruz and in 94 on the council, and who had for years refused to come out for this humane modification of the sleeping, of the camping law that would make sleeping legal, while at the same time keeping camping a crime. And of course, we've talked about the problems with that as well. So Street Spirit, lots of good stuff in it. I recommend you pick it up and look at it. Now a few announcements. I never seem to read the good stuff that's in the public announcements binder we have here. Maybe I can make an exception today. But some of my own announcements, let me get these in. There's going to be some stuff coming up tomorrow. As you already heard that today's the 11th, tomorrow's the 12th on Monday. Citizens Police Review Board meets at 5:30. I've taken it to not going to these meetings unless I have a large number of people with me and there's some very specific issue that we want to give information about. But I continue to recommend to people that they go and speak to the board publicly about issues because it puts it on the record and that they file complaints. Not that they expect any kind of action. You won't get any action from this board, unfortunately, until there is a real house cleaning done, hopefully by the three new city council candidates who get elected, whoever they be, Clark, Crone, Sugar, Fitzmaurice. Am I forgetting one? Anyway, new candidates is what we need, and that's what's needed to clean up this board. You also need, of course, stronger powers for the board, but certainly let's let them use the powers they have and stop whining and going, you know, falling back into subservient behavior to the chief and passing the buck to the city council and essentially excluding the public. They shortened their oral communication speaking time from 15 or 20 minutes down to 3 minutes, and it's a sad situation there under the chair of not-so-rosy Lisa Rose. So what we have coming up is a city council meeting on Tuesday, and unfortunately, a little bit behind the times with all the demonstrations going on and such around the beach flats. I was hoping to organize Friends of the Beach Fiesta back at the Civic on the 1st, and we were also organizing demonstrations at the Boardwalk, two Saturdays running. That's my excuse for not really getting into the city council coming up on Tuesday, but I believe we have a giveaway activity going into high gear with the Rotkin redevelopment majority, the renegades who have seized control of the city council and are whapping it to the minority, Byers and Celia Scott, and of course boosting their pals, the developers, in a rush job to pass this, that, and everything else before the city council election. We saw them give away millions of dollars in property on Tuesday. The title lands, which are public property in which the seaside parking lot sits, and people kind of agreed on that one when Phil Bearer pulled back the curtain and revealed the little gnome behind the scenes who was pulling the strings. Could it have been Charlie Canfield? In essence, showing that the property that the Seaside Company has been using to make profit off of all these years, that parking lot area near the trestle, is public property and shouldn't be in their hands at all. What did the city council do? They gave it away. Hard to believe. And of course, the headlines of the paper will talk a lot about, oh, what a wonderful deal they did later that night, and they got rid of the 3rd Street realignment, and they got rid of the redevelopment and the increased commercial development. No, they set the stage for the real giveaway after the election. If they get one vote on that council, you're going to see this train rolling through at a speed like you never imagined before. And that is, in fact, what really happened. And instead of a referendum, I guess the BOG, the Bay Area, the Beach Area Working Group, headed by Doug Rand, is not doing like that. They're just instead putting all their hopes in the candidates, the three candidates, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, who are running. And I'm certainly not opposed to their winning, and I hope to see definitely see a progressive change. But the process that's going on has dismayed me, and I've spoken elsewhere and briefly alluded to the fact that BOG, Bay Area Working Group, has excluded me from its meetings, not due to any behavior on my part that was untoward, but simply due to the bizarre hostility of the leader of that group, Doug Rand, who has not only taken to excluding me from his meetings, but attacking me in public when I show up. And I must admit, here we got an incoming phone call here. Let's hear what the public has to say.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I just wanted to call, first of all, to remind people that a year ago tomorrow, Happy John was murdered in the streets of Santa Cruz. Justice was torn asunder. People were threatened. The investigation was distorted and covered up. And a great crime was committed in Santa Cruz a year ago. And when we're at the SCAN meeting, voting on all these very important things and all these very important candidates, we should, you know, call for a minute for us to bow our heads in shame with what the city has done.
Guy, that's a wonderful thing that you brought back to my attention. Was it a year ago specifically on the...
A year ago tomorrow,
on
yes.
The 12th?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know, the SCAN meeting, I guess I was about to announce a series of things that I'd like to add, listeners, I got from this caller. We're talking to Green Party activist David Silva.
Yeah, just had to eat a bowl of cereal before I called you, Robert. Haven't had a chance to stop all morning.
You're always so selfish, David. Self. That's all you think about.
We have a Green Party table organizer trainer from the state Green Party's coming down in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz today. So there will be a table in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz today.
Uh-oh.
We will have the registration drive, and we will have very political information for
just
people.
Don't put it in front of George Anna's Cafe, or we'll haul you away, buddy.
Tufsky Shitsky.
Hmm. Well, we'll see. I may have to file a citizen's complaint against this table and demand that the police take you away.
I don't think they can stop registration of voters by a political party.
Well, that's interesting. That would overturn that section of the Canfield, the Coonerty law. I confuse Coonerty and Canfield sometimes. Well, I guess that makes three things happening tomorrow. It is the memorial of Happy John's killing by Officer Connor Carey, and the failure of the Citizens Police Review Board, the City Council, or any independent group to really investigate that shooting.
Bring along witness and the proto-death squad type activity. It's something that it's a shame to have buried.
On the simply on the say-so of one catalyst bouncer. It's amazing. Then there, at the same time, we're going to have the, I guess ironically enough, maybe it's, people should show up at the Citizens Police Review Board and throw tomatoes. That's at 5:30 in the afternoon at City Hall. And I guess at 6:30, the SCAN meeting that you mentioned is happening. Actually, I've just got a note here from my producer. You are right on target, but a month off time-wise. Happy John was killed November 12th. So it is the 11-month anniversary of the shooting of Happy John.
Boy.
But I think you know, that it's worth remembering on the 12th that there was a man, a poor man,
a
homeless activist, a man who opposed police violence, a man who was a symbol of a kind of an alternate community, who was killed, some say murdered, in Santa Cruz. And that was November 12th, 1997. I guess at 6:30, though, continuing, we have this SCAN meeting, and what's that going to be about, David, and where is that going to be, and is that open to the public, and so forth?
Yeah, it's open to the public. I mean, only members will be voting, but it's going to be dealing with the propositions and the measures. What was done at the last general membership meeting, as you recall, was kind of a historical coalition of groups with caucusing, and so there wasn't as many issues covered. Actually, it was just the city council race that was covered, so... Now it's time to look at the propositions. Yes on 9, by the way.
What is 9, for those of us who don't know?
Proposition 9 is basically an initiative to stop the bailout by the big three giant utility companies in the state. As it is now, we're getting a 10% deduction on our utilities and then paying 35% to pay for that you know, out of a surcharge that they tax us. It's a way of bailing them out, and they actually come out ahead over a 10-year period, and it saves nuclear energy bad investments. So this Proposition 9 will stop protecting the nuclear energy bad investments, and will also give every rate payer about a 34% reduction in their utilities. So it's important proposition, it's just that there's been millions and millions and millions of dollars poured into some unions and poured into Republican Democrat Party, and of course on TV that's all everybody's seen is the No on 9.
I know
there'll be an opportunity to hear the Yes on 9 argument if you show up at SCAN tomorrow.
I know that the SCAN last year took as one of its, not just endorsing ending the sleeping ban, but as one of its action items, acting to end the sleeping ban. How would you assess SCAN's performance on ending the sleeping ban?
Well, there's been some members that have been involved in the initiative drive, and then there's been some members that have worked very hard to make sure that that there's been what you would call its slate or the endorsed candidates are informed. I think we've got a endorsement from an organization that certainly has a lot of things on its plate three times in a row. I'm not interested in going back for another endorsement again tomorrow. I think SCAN stands squarely behind the appeal of the sleeping ban, and I don't want to see, I don't even think we need to go for looking for any kind of further endorsement.
Would people
to have actual
would people
have a focus of energy?
Would people interpret? I'm sorry, Dave. Would people interpret the lack of specific endorsement of this at tomorrow's meeting as meaning a non-endorsement?
Well, I certainly can't see how they could do that.
Would people say, they didn't endorse it this year, they endorsed it before, but now they've decided not to endorse it? Would that...
Well, right now we're in a different position. You know, we're not in the position of, like, we need to go out on the streets and we need your support for initiative drive. We've done the initiative drive, basically converted the city. Everybody's against the sleeping ban now, you know. It's quite fashionable. Even Linda Steinau has now, you know, said that she's willing to extract references to sleeping as camping in the camping ordinance.
We have to get beyond
quite fashionable and actually get this thing realized, and that's going to take some hard knock negotiating.
Well, let me interrupt this scheduling.
Head knocking negotiating.
Right. Well, let me tell me you've learned that Linda Steinau, the downtown Duchess, is actually coming out against the sleeping sections of the camping ban.
Yeah, she's promised me that if she was elected, she would take that language out of the camping ordinance. She definitely believes in the camping ban, but the human rights violations of sleeping as a definition of camping, she definitely believes needs to be fixed.
And she's willing to go public with this?
I don't know if she's willing to go public, but she told me that on the phone. As far as I'm concerned, that I'm public.
So when did you talk to her?
That was the day before yesterday.
And she publicly told you that she favored...
She told me this on the phone.
She told you on the phone that she favored ending the sleeping...
Taking the language out of refers to, sleeping as camping.
So this means that we have Linda Steinau, Pat Clark, Tim Fitzmaurice, Chris Crone, Keith Sugar, maybe even Rodent. I haven't talked to him, but I would have to assume as a former homeless person. That makes 6 out of 8 candidates.
Yeah, that makes me feel really uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
It makes me feel really, it's like one of the problems with, it's almost like, remember the dilemma of radical chic, when radical became chic? You started really wondering how much you've won,
Mm-hmm.
It's when everybody's for it and there's nobody doing anything to change it, actually. You know, I don't see anything up on this current council's agenda, I was expecting to be on this current council's agenda.
Well,
the negotiations that we went through this summer, I was expecting it.
Now, you actually have, you told us at some point many months ago that you were going to drop into the catacombs of secret negotiations.
Closed negotiations, not secret.
Sorry.
Negotiations by nature have to be closed.
Right, into closed negotiations.
I made an offer. I said, hey, we'll take the downtown out of this formula that we came up with the initiative. Actually, that wasn't really the
sticking point?
The sticking point with them.
Let's go back a bit. Now, yeah. you were one of the coordinators of the sleeping ban, well, outreach coordinator for the sleeping ban repeal initiative, which for numerous reasons fell short on getting on the ballot. You then continued this struggle with organizing Don't Sleep Tonight nights, and then you began
the negotiation. I offered the negotiation. May they offer 10 days before the initiative.
You offered negotiations with who?
I went through Don Lane.
Former mayor and now, I guess, restaurateur Don Lane.
Yeah.
And what would Don have to do with it if he isn't on the city council?
Yeah, but he was able to carry this over to Scott Kennedy.
And so you were actually negotiating with Scott Kennedy about changing the sleeping ban.
Well, there was several of us representing several organizations, mostly the coalition that supported the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, but also, on the other side, there were other people involved.
And who else? Who was on the other side?
Oh, gee, it was kind of more of a circle than two sides of a table. But let's see, there was Scott Kennedy and Karen Gillette. Let's see, Don Lane,
Charlotte Spitzer.
Well, Charlotte Spitzer was part of our coalition representing Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, and
Jim King.
James King. We thought there should be an attorney.